Church family, as we move into the time of the preaching of God's Word, take your Bibles out once again, if you would, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we've started this sermon series titled Preaching, Persecution, and Pleasure. But we were interrupted from the first installment of it. Had to go back and pick up something. And now we're back to this series of messages. And we're looking at the first part of it, preaching. This verse has really done me good. I needed to be reminded of the wonderful privilege and great honor and great responsibility preaching is to God's people each Sunday and on Wednesdays. And it has reminded me of the importance of the preached word. And hopefully in your own hearts, in your minds, you will be reminded also of the importance of the preached word of God. This is not a trivial or insignificant part of the church, the life of the church, but it is the lifeblood of the church when we come together to hear the word of the Lord preached. And I dare say that you can't have an authentic church without the preached word of God. You just can't have it. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach a message on preaching this morning. Our main lesson that we have before us is this: an authentic church has a preacher who God speaks through as he preaches the word of God. A little story to begin with. In the 16th century, there was a Protestant reformer in England by the name of Hugh Latimer. He was known as a great preacher of God's word in his day, and as a result, he had many opportunities to speak, to give a message from the word of the Lord. And once he found that he was to preach before the king, King Henry VIII of England. As he thought about his great responsibility to bring a message before the king, he realized that the message that God laid on his heart was probably not the message that the king would want to hear. And so as he began his sermon, and I don't know if he actually spoke these words at the beginning of his sermon, or if these words went through his mind. Don't know. I couldn't find that out. But this is what he said before he began preaching before the King of England. "Latimer, Latimer, do you remember that you are speaking before the high king and mighty King Henry VIII? Who has power to command you to be sent to prison, and who can have your head cut off if it pleases him? Will you not take care to say nothing that will offend royal ears?" And then immediately he thought and said, "Latimer, Latimer, do you not remember that you are speaking before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, before him at whose throne King Henry VIII will stand, before him to whom one day you will have to give an account of yourself? Latimer, Latimer, be faithful to your master and declare all of God's word." Now, he preached that message. The king didn't behead him that day, but Queen Elizabeth, his daughter, would later behead Hugh Latimer. But he preached the word of God as God led him to. And I thought about that story and I thought, isn't that the question that every pastor must ask of himself before he stands to preach God's word? And it always must be answered. I must preach with Christ, what Christ would have me preach. For then and only then will God's people hear God speak through his preacher. A good theology of preaching, as we're learning from verse 13 here, is that God is to be heard loudly and clearly through the voice of his minister, his messenger. And here are some lessons that we've learned so far, and it's about a theology of preaching. Again, it's been 2 weeks ago that we started this. But the first thing we see here is that preaching God's word must take place in an authentic church. And again, I would reiterate that unless the word of God is preached, it's not an authentic church. Verse 13 says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." Once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have chosen crooked sticks to tap people with, that you have used mortal man to be your messenger, to carry forth and speak loudly and clearly your word. And that is a great honor and privilege and an ominous responsibility. Thank you, Lord, that you have put your word on pages, that the Holy Bible tells us your word, and that as your preacher preaches, you speak through him your very word. Thank you, Lord. Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So the first thing we see here is that a preacher preaches the word of God so it is heard. The Bible says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard." Preaching is a form of communication, verbal communication, in most places, that a man of God who has studied the word of God presents a message of God to the congregation of God so that they can hear God. It must be heard. The gospel must be heard. Secondly, we see here that a preacher preaches the word of God and it is accepted as the word of God. Look at verse 13 again. "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God." So that when Paul and Silas and Timothy preached, the church of Thessalonica heard God speak. Next, we learn God uses his messengers to preach his word to his people. So God speaks through preachers as they preach his word. Now, you say, "Pastor David, read that again. Make sure I heard what you said." And you did. God speaks through preachers as they preach his word. The Bible says this, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from" who? Us. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and every man of God since then who preaches the word. So that's the little pronoun I want to draw your attention to, is that little two-letter pronoun, us. It's a very important pronoun. When Paul preached the word of God, the people heard it. They accepted it, received it. They accepted it in their head, accepted it in their heart, which all supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. They received it as the word of God, not as the word of man. Now, that's a supernatural event that's taking place. And I dare say that every time a man, a preacher, gets up to preach the word of God, something supernatural takes place within the hearts and minds of God's people. That's the only way you can explain it. That it is the movement of the Holy Spirit as the word is pronounced and communicated. So that those who hear it are hearing it not with human ears, but with born-again believer ears, that they will accept it, receive it as the very word of God. Now, again, it wasn't just Paul who we know was used of the Holy Spirit to write down the very word of God as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit, but it was also Silas and Timothy. Neither one of those men wrote anything in the New Testament. God didn't use them that way. But he did use them in a profound way to communicate, to preach the very words that he would give them to preach. And so when they all three preached the word of God, it was also then accepted and received as the word of God. Now, you say, Pastor, what is your point? Well, this is my point. God has used many different men over the ages to preach the word of God. And when they preach the word of God, they rightly divide the word of God. Workers who needeth not be ashamed. When they hold the word of God correctly, it was God who was speaking through them. They were simply God's messenger, his mouthpiece, proclaiming his message. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. So when they preached, the congregation heard God speak. What a wonderful truth that Paul has passed along thanks to the Holy Spirit in this wonderful teaching. Because if I were you, I wouldn't come to church if that were not the case. And let me tell you, God can use a blind squirrel to catch a nut every now and then. Just so he can use a crooked stick to hit people right where they're at. And it is a wonderful thought to think that when we come to church and I get up to preach, that God is speaking. John Calvin writes, when a preacher who is duly called and appointed by God, God speaks. It is as if God himself were speaking through him. God wishes to be heard through the voice of his ministers. And this is the theology of preaching that Paul is writing about right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Now, this is the only place that Paul writes about theology of preaching. He also touches on it in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and following, where he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Preaching what? The word of God. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Verse 17, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Do you see how it all molds and melds together? Faith is activated by the Holy Spirit. Yes, at the beginning. We're only born anew by the work of the Holy Spirit. And then we're given a heart that will believe. And then as the word of God is preached, faith then is activated once again, and a believer believes in Jesus Christ, and believers believe in the Word of God, and then they obey the Word of God. And so it is through hearing the Word of God preached that God speaks, and His people are affected by it. And so Paul is telling us, if you want to hear the Lord speak, then listen to his preachers. Listen to his preachers. Not only does he tell us that, but in his theology of preaching, he gives us another reason why the word is preached. And it is preached for spiritual fruit to ripen. Spiritual fruit to ripen. Before I get to that point, there's a little story I want to share with you about a little boy and his dad. This little boy and his dad were talking one day, and it was after church one Sunday, and the little boy said, Dad, why do we go to church every Sunday? His dad answered, so we can hear God speak. Little boy says, Dad, how does God speak at church? Well, every Sunday when our pastor gets up to preach, he is God's messenger, and God speaks through him. Do you mean when the pastor speaks, God is speaking? That's exactly what I'm telling you, son. Is he God, Dad? No, son. The pastor is not God. He's just God's mouthpiece. He's just the man that God speaks through. His son thought for a moment. And he said, Dad, why does Mr. Bowditch go to sleep then every Sunday? Does he not want to hear God speak? To which his dad said, that's a great question, son. And he leaves it at that. Oh, the wonderful privilege we have. Amen. Point number four here, this God speaks through preachers speaking his word to produce spiritual works. Again, let me read this verse, and at the very end is where the point is coming from. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. Why? For what purpose? Which is at work in you believers. You know, the Bible speaks of the word as a living and living and active, as a double-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You see, when God's word is preached, it is a living and active word is preached. When the word of God is preached, there is a functional aspect to the preaching of God's word that is to go from the verbal communication of that word into the ears, the minds, and the hearts of the recipients, the congregation, so that the word is at work in believers, ripening their faith, calling them to obedience, encouraging them to live a godly, holy, blameless life, to produce works of the Holy Spirit. And that takes place as the word of God is preached. And so when it's preached, it's heard, it's received, it's accepted, filtering through the heart and the mind of a believer, it produces godly activity. It produces godly works. It produces spiritual fruit. Pastor Hughes writes, preaching God's word produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes that God intended. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That whether we know it or not, since the word is living and active, when we hear God speak through the preacher, that word is doing something in you. It's doing something in you. Hallelujah! See you, baby girl. You know, the wonderful thing about it, the Bible tells us that all that God purposes in his word will be accomplished. Sometimes we're not on the logs and it's accomplishing something still. Sometimes we're very profoundly moved by it and it's accomplishing something. And the reason why it's accomplishing something is because that's a supernatural production of God. That is God who is doing something supernaturally within us. So let me say it this way. If, you know, I remember growing up in church, and I'd sit through the preaching and I'd be bored a lot of the times. And I'd be wondering, when is this thing? When is the pastor going to be quiet? When is this going to be over with? I got things to do. I'm ready to eat. When is this man going to be done? And little did I know that according to God's word, even with those kind of less than spiritual thoughts, the word of God was still accomplishing something within me to produce fruit as he matures it. And he is the one that decides when to activate that word that has been planted within your soul by the preaching of the Word of God. And as a pastor, that makes all the difference to me. Because one day, God's going to do something that I don't know about, that you didn't recognize, but it has come about because He has used me to preach His Word to you. You know, we got a garden this year, and garden grows on its own. Different plants produce different fruit at different times. And that's the way God is with His Word. But know that when the preacher preaches the Word, it is doing something in you. You may not know it, but it is doing something within you. And then at the proper time, in the proper place, in the right way, God's going to grow that word into an abundant, fruitful supply. Now you say, how do you know that, Pastor David? Well, because God's Word tells me that. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because we know that God never reneges on what He says. That this word that God has promised, He will faithfully complete it. God's word always accomplishes His purposes. That's why God's word must be preached in the authentic church, week in and week out. The preached word of God will accomplish what He purposes through His people. And it's so wonderful to know that God is at work, even when we don't think He's at work, within us, because we have been within the hearing of His preached word. And He will produce His work. The word of God is at work in you, believers. That's a promise. So the purpose of God's word being preached is for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is working, it is accomplishing, it is living in and through each one of you so that you will produce spiritual works. Are you listening to the preacher preach the word of God? And do you hear God telling you, follow me? Pastor Hughes says this, we cannot do away with preaching because at such moments we hear Jesus in a way that we do not hear Him with other modes of communication. Let us hold firm to the ministry of preaching because through that simple yet profound act, we hear the voice of Christ. We follow Him and He gives us everlasting life. And so when I preach God's word, you hear God speak. And then His word goes to work in your hearts and in your minds, and it moves you, and there will be spiritual fruit produced. That's the promise of God. Now, here's the thing. You got to remember this. Your spiritual fruit coming to ripeness is supernaturally tied to God speaking through His messenger. God speaks through His preacher. Well, let me close with another little tidbit here. It's been said that some pastors preach long sermons, a point here and a point there and a lot of bull in between. And that may be true. And that's because some pastors are like Pastor Ralph, who never prepared during the week. And on Sunday morning, he'd sit on the platform while the church was singing hymns and desperately pray, Lord, give me a message. Lord, send me a message. And on one Sunday, God sent him a message. And this is what he said to Pastor Ralphie. Ralph, here's my message. You're lazy. You're lazy. God is at work in the study of the pastor. God is at work in the praying of the pastor. God is at work when the pastor is reading the Word of God and preparing for the message, rightly dividing the Word of truth, a workman that needs not be ashamed. And God is at work when God's people pray for God's pastor to preach God's Word. Are you praying? And I know you are, and I thank you for that. Oswald Smith says this, the Word does not need sermons. The world does not need sermons. It needs a message. You can go to seminary and learn how to preach sermons, but you will have to go to God and God's Word to get His message. So church family, we need to hear a word from the Lord every Sunday. We need to hear a word from Him. And that is done through the preaching of His Word. So pray. Pray fervently that I will always have a message prepared from God for you each time I get up to preach. And we'll start growing some spiritual fruit. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to hear Your Word preached. You have spoken, and I thank You for that. I'm humbled and both joyful. Lord, use the preaching to inspire Your people for great works of God. In Jesus' name, amen.